I have a subject I'd like for us to look at today. If I could give you the title of it, it'd be, To God Be the Glory. And I'd like to start with a verse over in Jeremiah in the 9th chapter and the 23rd verse. It says, Thus saith the Lord, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. In this one, glory, the definition was to glory in a thing is to depend on it as the means or cause of bringing happiness to us. So it's telling us, you be careful what you're looking to that will bring happiness to you. It says, don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't let the mighty man glory in his might, or the rich man glory in his riches. Because you know how quick each one of those can leave the person that has it? How quick, just reading stories about the Great Depression and when the stock market crashed back in the 20s, someone could be very, very wealthy 1 minute, and when the stock market crashed, they had nothing. This one's saying, don't glory in your riches. It says that riches can take wings and fly away. For the wise man, don't glory in his wisdom. You know how quick it is for someone to have a stroke and every function that they had in their mind before comes to a halt? It doesn't matter how much college he has gone to, how much he had stored away in his memory bank before. Just one little stroke and it can all be gone. There are a lot of places today that have health fitness centers. You can go and work out and build up your body. This one says, don't let the mighty man glory in his might. You know how quick you can lose your strength? We've been having the flu season go around those last few weeks. You can be feeling great in the morning, feeling like I'm on top of everything. You know how quick a flu virus can knock all that out of you to where you just kind of hope you can survive. In ourselves, we don't really have anything that we can glory in. But it says, I tell you what, you glory in this one, that you know me. Being able to know the Lord, and that's not so much that we glory in ourselves that we've been able to know the Lord. There is something I read in the commentary. It said, unless men believe that God's dealings with them in life and death are right and just, they can neither love nor reverence God. And I was thinking of this verse here that says, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. You know, it's going to be real important for us to get to know the Lord to the point that we can trust him for the things that come into our life. We've been having those tests, all of us together as a congregation. I am glad we have the little WhatsApp prayer line to where, you know what, when it goes out, everybody gets it and knows here's a need. Let's all be praying for that. This one is saying that we understand and know the Lord, that he's exercising love and kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. You know, for me to have a knowledge that whether I understand it or not, he's working in the affairs of men. He's working in the affairs of our family. Brother Wright's testimony this morning is the Lord's helping him to be able to see that God is working in the affairs of his son with a desire for Malachi to make heaven his home at the end of it. And you know, for me to plan day by day how something should go, I would like for it to be so different. If we had from the very beginning been able to plan what we wanted to happen with the Lockhart family, it'd been easy for me. I didn't expect them to be in jail, but just a few days maybe, and they'd be out again. That's been the history in the past. But you know what? This verse is saying that we know and understand the Lord. We start understanding His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so when we had the news Wednesday that they have 5 years, you know, 5 years is like an eternity to me. When I think about the changes that that brings. But then when I saw the Lord, He worked also with the children. Looked like there was no way that could have happened that way. But the Lord did it. I want to be able to know and trust the Lord. So today I would like for us to look at it throughout our life that God receives the glory. There's a definition for it, of glory. Praise ascribed in adoration and honor. Throughout the Bible we find places that would like to cause our mind to understand more about who God is. You remember the Lord's Prayer itself, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's meant right at the beginning of that prayer to lift up God for who He is, to bring glory to Him. You remember in when the angels came down to the shepherds, what was their message to them? Glory to God in the highest. Glory goes back to God for what we're doing right here. For us bringing the news that Jesus, the Savior, is born in Bethlehem. The glory goes back to God for that. There is another. I'd like to go to a verse in Psalms 29. Psalms 29 and 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give to the Lord the glory that's due His name. You know, if we could just start being able to grasp what all the Lord is involved in, just the creation itself, our life should be bringing glory back to God for what He did with creation. The plan of salvation, I need to be bringing glory back to God for that. And this one is saying, give unto the Lord the glory that is due His name. There's another one in Psalms 115. Psalms 115 and 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. That there is no desire for us as His people to have any glory given to us, but that all of the glory, what was the definition for it? Praise ascribed in adoration or honor given. Not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name give glory. I was thinking about throughout the scripture, humility is taught. You know, humility ought to come natural to me when I see who God is, how great He is. A lot of people today, even in the religious world, it almost brings God down to where we're kind of on a level field here. No, God is high and lifted up. And I don't want any glory to come to my name, not unto us, but unto thy name, give glory. There is another one in Psalms. No, there's one in Revelations, the fourth chapter. I was looking at this. The fourth chapter of Revelations starts out with a verse. The first verse is saying, this chapter, I'm going to give you a picture of what's going on in heaven. And so he started seeing the scene there. And I was looking, I read some about it in Revelation Explained. Because down here at the last, in the eighth verse, starting in the eighth verse, it talks about beasts and it talks about creatures. And we can get all mixed up of what it is. But it says these are people that have been redeemed throughout the years and look at what they're doing. You know, sometimes we kind of think about, I wonder what Aunt Nelda's doing today. You know, what's Dad been doing up there these years? Here's what they're doing. They rest not night or day, saying, holy, holy, holy. You know, we're talking about to God be the glory. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You know, it would be good for me to be sending glory up to God. He was, He is, and you know what? As long as there will be time, He will be here to come. And it says, when they gave glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And it says, they fell down before Him that sat on the throne, and they worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne. I was thinking of all this little picture. What picture that must have been to John as he looked inside of heaven and he saw this. Here's some people, here's some redeemed, and they have been given crowns. But wait a minute, they're throwing them down now. Because what was that verse? Not unto us, O Lord, but unto You we want glory to be given. And that was the symbol of this, is we cast anything that we have been able to accomplish, Lord, it all goes to You. And I like this picture. They cast their crowns before the throne saying, do they say what accomplishments I've been able to make in life? You remember the places where the two men went up to pray and one in his prayer said, Lord, I fast twice in the week. I give money of all that I possess. I am so thankful that I'm not like other people. I'm not like this other man over here. You know what? This isn't the kind of prayer that's being prayed right here. This isn't what's being said here. Instead, there's no recognition coming from me for myself. I'm not up there telling the Lord, I've been a good boy down there. I'm sure glad to be here to be with You. Lord, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Given glory to God. And do we have to wait till we get to heaven to do it? I think the Lord would like for us to give glory to Him while we're here. You know, we can recognize these same things that they did up in heaven. I should be able to remember, Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure. They are and were created. Worship Him that liveth forever and ever. You know what? I can have those same things to be able to be thankful for and to give God the glory for. There was a verse of a song that said, Lord Jesus, my sweet rose of Sharon, my prophet, my priest, and my king, to Thee I will sing all my praises for blessings Thy mercy doth bring. All glory and honor to Jesus, who offered His life on the cross to open a fountain for sinners and purchase a world that was lost. You know, I have a lot of things that my mind can run on through the day. I can fill it up on world events. You know, I can fill it up on worrying about what this China virus is going to do out in the future, or the election, or whatever I want to. Or I can think about giving glory to God for the plan of salvation, that He sent His Son down here so that I can be saved and be able to make heaven my home, giving glory to His name. There is a song I would like for us to sing together that I think is a good picture of what we're trying to say today. It's song number 41. To God be the glory for all He hath done, for life and salvation, the gift of His Son. To God be the glory, rejoice in His name. To God be the glory forever proclaim. To God be the glory, to Him it is due. His help is unfailing, to us He is true. To God be the glory, rejoice in His name. To God be the glory, forever proclaim. Though I was a captive, from sin He did free. In time of affliction, my healer is He. To God be the glory, rejoice in His name. To God be the glory, forever proclaim. To God be the glory, His mercy extol. For all He doth give us, for body and soul. To God be the glory, rejoice in His name. To God be the glory, forever proclaim. There was another song that I was looking at. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory for what I was able to do? No. Glory to His name. I want to be able to have my life while I'm living it here. I wanted my life itself to bring glory to His name. But you know what? I would like my thoughts, I would like to send up some glory to God, like the angels did, glory to God in the highest. I would like to be able, by my life, to be able to show glory to God. There is a verse that says He would like for our life to bring glory to God. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You know, there are a lot of people doing good works. You know, the scripture says there's a lot of, said for us to be real careful lest we do our good works to be seen of men. Remember what He said comes from that? You have your reward. If I do my good works hoping that someone will congratulate me for it, it said you've already got your reward here. But this one does say, let your light so shine before men that they may see our good works. But the result of it is what is important. The last of this is what tells us that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, there's going to be a difference. It could be the same works, but how I portray it to people can either bring glory to me or can bring glory to God. Some of you, maybe the children have heard this story before. It made an impression on me. I tried to find it again later. Where in the Bible we read about blind Bartimaeus. You know, he really had nothing to offer the Lord. He's there blind, and he just happens to hear Jesus is walking by. And there had to have been something down in Bartimaeus' heart, because there's a lot of people walk by every day, no doubt. But somehow he had probably heard something. Something had caused his faith to be inspired, that if I could just get him to stop, he could help me out. Well, that's a benefit. I mean, that's a good point for Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus could have said, that man is no different. You remember the Pharisees, many of them says, you give God the glory, this man's a sinner. Well, Bartimaeus didn't look at it that way. Bartimaeus said, you know what, if I could call out to Jesus, I need some help. So he did. And you remember the people tried to stop him. You're making too much noise. But Bartimaeus, it says he just cried out the louder. And Jesus stopped and healed him and said, your faith has made you whole. Well, here's the story that I heard. And this is just something to give us some food for thought. And it said in this story, Bartimaeus was so happy to be healed. He left out of there going home. He could see his testimony. He had a testimony to give to people. And you could hear the first person that he came to. Hey, what happened to you? You were blind yesterday. Oh, I met Jesus and he healed me. But you know, you see a lot of people as you're going home. And as the story progressed, as he would see somebody else, he would add something else that happened in there. And by the time he got to his home, his story was this way. Ah, Bartimaeus, I called out until he just had to stop to see what I was needing. And he even said, it was my faith that healed me. And as I listened to that story, I said, wow, you know, that's just a story. But you know, that can be true. So easy. There was a time when I saw, Lord, I had nothing to offer to you. You remember this verse we're trying to deal with here, 5 and 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. But don't let it do anything but glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And there must be a tendency for it to be the other way. Or Jesus would not have spent much time in dealing with us to be real, real careful that the glory not go to us. So as I was listening to this story of Bartimaeus, that is just something to give us food for thought. It didn't happen. But I thought how easy it could happen to me. Lord, help me in my life to never let anything bring glory to me. Because it says if I do that, that's just as far as it goes. It doesn't have any more benefit. You know what I would like is I'd like for my good works to have a benefit when I reach, that I reach heaven, my home. Not because of the good works, but because they brought glory to Jesus. And then I heard another. Brother Clifford Wilson was preaching a message. It's online now. It says it's a message to young ministers. And he was giving advice on there. And he told this that the Lord had dealt with him about. So the Lord came to him, kind of talking to him, and said, if you were to have $20 and you gave it to an individual and you said, I want you to deliver this to this person, take it to this person. When you give it to them, tell them that I was the one that sent it. Well, that's an easy thing to do. Just take the 20, give it to him, and tell him, this person, Joe over here, whatever, he sent this 20 to you. The Lord talked to him and he said, how would you feel if when that person delivered the $20 to that other person, he gave the impression that he was the one that was given the 20? Didn't mention the other that was doing it, but said, how would you feel if the person you had given it to deliver it gave the impression that he was the one making the delivery? How would you feel about that? Well, Brother Clifford said, well, I wouldn't like that very much. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, neither do I. When I give a message, and by the time it gets delivered, the person delivering it gets the glory for it. That was some thought to me. And it's not just about a message. It can be about totally in my life. It can be the Lord, how he dealt with me. It could be in a testimony on Wednesday night. How he dealt with me about something. And by the time it works around, it brings more glory to me than it does to him. And that's been a challenge to me. You know what? I would like the Lord to talk to my heart. Give me something to share to you. But you know what? When I walk away from it, I want to make sure I was just the delivery person. There is somebody else. You know, Scripture talks to us about so much about humility. And you know, Jesus himself was the first one to teach it to us. He took upon him the form of a servant. That's really what we all are. Whatever we do for the Lord, it's just that we're a servant for him. And not much credit goes back to a servant. You know, there were a lot of things that Jesus did, and we would wonder, why did this have to happen this way? And he had a reason for it. He wanted glory to be brought. I'd like to look at one of those. It's in John the 11th. John the 11th chapter. And in the third verse, this is where Lazarus is sick. His sister's coming to Jesus, like for you to come pray for him. Third verse, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And he tarried some time before he went over there. Tarried enough time that Lazarus had already died. And there was, in the 14th verse, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And he gave a reason for it. Because so that the Son of Man, Son of God, could be glorified. You know, it would be one thing for him to go to him while he's sick and be able to heal him. But you know, it made a big impact when Jesus went to the grave and he had been dead for days. You know what? That brought a lot of glory to his name. There is a verse, because I start to understand some things about who God is and how he has done his working. In Isaiah 42 and 8. I am the Lord, that's my name. My glory will I not give another, neither my praise to graven images. Now, if we would take this one verse and then use it in all of the Bible stories that we have read in the past, we start understanding something about God. When he finished a lot of the things that he did in the Bible, there was no room for glory to go to the person. It was God that did it. The walls of Jericho, when he gave them instruction of how to take it down, it was walk around at one time every day. And there was another requirement, do not talk. You know, that would be something for a group of an army that didn't really understand why they're doing it anyhow, but they're just to follow instruction day by day. Because at the end of it, it brought glory to God's name. He was the one that did it. There was times when the disciples went fishing and caught nothing. And Jesus tells them, just throw your net over on the other side of the boat. How wide is a boat? You know what it all was to do? Was to bring glory to Christ. To help them to see who he was. This is not just another man. All these things are to show us who Christ really is. And so this one is telling me, my glory I will not give another. This is in the Old Testament. But you know what? He still means it the same. His desire is that none of his glory would go to a human, but that we would bring it all to him. There is a verse in John 15 and 5. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So do we take credit for that? Do we glory in the fact that we can produce much fruit? No, he says, for without me, ye can do nothing. So you know the tendency from that would be, I agree, I can't do anything. I'll just let somebody else do it. But then I look at what Paul said in Philippians 4 and 13. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's not about me. It's about me providing a vessel. And you know what? For each one of us, we can take a look and say, you know what? I am not able to be a help to many people. I remember Brother Delmer Wilkins. He felt like, you know what? I have not been able to have an impact on people. You know, he was a very shy person, a very quiet person. But you know what? At his funeral, found out different. He had impacted a whole lot of people. And he did not realize it. Because you know what? The glory wasn't coming back to Delmer. Delmer was just living his life. And that's what we want to be able to do, is to realize, you know what? Without Jesus, I won't be able to do anything that is of eternal profit. But I don't want that to stop me. I want to be able, I know that by his help, I can do some things if he will help me. But then the credit needs to go back to God. There is another verse in Philippians 2 and 3. Let nothing, it talks about glory. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And it said on that, it says, do nothing so as to promote your own reputation separate from the comfort and honor and advantage of all. Nothing that puts me in a different place any higher than everybody together. We are a unit together. The disciples ran into a problem with that. The disciples had a time when they were talking among themselves, which one is going to be the greatest? Do you think that was going to end up with a story that would bring glory to God? Not when it starts out with that. And so the Lord was going to have to work with that, and he did. And I look at what happened after that. You remember Peter happened to be one of those disciples that was going along and they're trying to figure out who's going to be the greatest. But you know, there was also a time when Peter, the Lord was working in him so much that it said people were just happy that if at the very shadow of Peter, thinking that they would be able to be healed, how much God was working in him. But you know what? We don't see Peter again desiring to take credit to himself. And I was looking at some other places. You remember where Paul was in a place and he healed a crippled man, and the people around there were so impressed, they said the gods have come down. This is in the 14th chapter of Acts. And it said he was scarcely able to restrain the people because they were going to do sacrifices to him. You know what they're about to do? They're about to bring some glory to Paul. And let's look at a verse in Acts, the 14th chapter. Because you know what? Paul's a human. Well, that could kind of feel good for a little bit, that these people are lifting him up so much. 14 and 18. They're about to do sacrifices to him. And 15th verse, this is Paul. He cried out, sirs, why do you do these things? We're men with like passions, like with you. We preach unto you that you should turn away from these vanities to the living God. So what he's doing is saying, you know what? We're not out to bring any glory to ourselves. In the 18th verse, it says, with these sayings, they scarce restrain the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. You know, that's something. Talk about how people can lift you up. And if we're not careful, we will get to thinking that we're somebody. Have you ever read this chapter from the beginning to the end? Look at this one. In the 18th verse, these folks are about ready to do sacrifices because Paul is so great. The very next verse, someone has come in and persuaded them until they have stoned him and left him for dead. You know, something I want to be careful about is if glory is brought to me, you know what? If a man gives it, a man can also take it away. And if I am dependent on that, I'm going to ride a roller coaster. But you know, Paul was not dependent on that, nor would he receive any glory for himself. In the sixth chapter of John, something similar happened to Jesus. He went from popular at the beginning of the chapter because he had just fed 5,000 people, and they were very happy with that happening. And it talks about how that Jesus realized that they were about to make to force him to be a king. And so he departed from there. But you know, when he talked to them, you know, in that sixth chapter, the first part, they want to make him king. And then he starts talking to them. You know, there's some sacrifice comes with this. You're going to have to drink my blood. You're going to have to eat my flesh. You're going to have to be a partaker with me. And before that thing was over, it says many of his disciples went away and walked no more with him. To the point, remember, he asked his disciples, will you also go away? And they said, to whom would we go? There was another man in Acts, because this is something that we want to always guard against. His name was Herod. In the 12th chapter of Acts, and this Herod made a speech, and the people were so impressed with that speech that they said, when he finished that speech, 22nd verse, the people gave a shout saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. Now that's some kind of credit to give to a person after making a speech. We have just heard a voice of a God speaking to us. What happened to him? 23rd verse says, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him. Why? Because he gave not God the glory. You know, that ought to be a warning to all of us as we go out and try to do God's work on this earth. I don't want the glory to come to me. God does not want the glory to come to me. Nor any one of us, as we are just maybe working one-on-one with people. Maybe we have an opportunity to do good to someone. May all of those opportunities be used. Let your light so shine before men. We do want them to see our good works. But what we want is, what is the result of that? That they would glorify our Father, which is in heaven. You know, we have that opportunity to remind ourselves of that every time we eat a meal. That's not just a habit to stop and pray before we eat. It is to bring glory to God. You remember those there in heaven? He created all things. I'm bringing glory back to him because of it. You know what? As simple as it is, that's what we're doing when we stop before we eat. To say, Lord, you're the one that created all things. You have allowed me to be able to have this. I need it really as a reminder to myself as much as to give it to the Lord. Is that through these things, Lord, you want me to be reminded that you're the giver of it. Because there was a man that failed to do that in the book of Daniel. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. And time passed. He had a vision. In that vision, the vision was interpreted to him that there's trouble coming out in your life. God is going to bring you down. But remember Daniel told him, said, you can change things if you will. You have an opportunity to change. It says 1 year later, Nebuchadnezzar walked out at his house, looked out over what he had been able to do, and he said, is not this great Babylon that I have been able to build with my own hands? May we each one in our life, if the Lord blesses us with something, Let's let it bring glory to God. This man failed to do it, and God brought him down. We remember this, that for 7 years, he ate grass like an ox. He lived out in a pasture. What is amazing to me is at the end of that 7 years, God returned everything back to him. The people desired him to be king again. And he ended up his with saying, "I praise and I extol and I honor the God of heaven." May it not take that much for us to be able to do it. May my life, I want it to bring glory to God and not glory to myself. There is a song I'd like for us to close with. Fanny Crosby wrote it. And the song is the same title as what the song we sang, "To God Be the Glory." I think Cheryl's going to put it on our WhatsApp. "To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and he opened the life gate that all may come in. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for me, I am very thankful. But I want everything from my life to bring glory back to God. I desire your prayers."